Hello and welcome to episode 28.
28
of Untalented.
We're here.
We are here. It's again a bit of a different one to usual. I've done this before where I've podded with another person from unknown, but yeah. Woody, I bring you here. You bring me here.
Hello. We are here together. It is also a sunny, lovely, beautiful day in London.
Yeah, Woody's got his toes out.
I've got
unfortunately,
my toes out for everyone, and I'm there staying hidden. But not, I am wearing Birkenstocks just so everyone knows. I'm not just barefoot.
Steve Jobs vibe.
But it's like as Sean was saying, it's a bit of a different one. We thought that we'd reconnect. It's been a while since it's just been an unknown podcast. Some updates from our side, some exciting stuff that's happened with Unknown. And yeah, just some industry chats and also hilarity of funny things.
Absolutely, I hope so. Yeah, we're going to talk about the Nobody Wants to Work for You workshop, AI taking over, obviously, like everyone's talking about.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to diving into maybe how we're perceived as unknown, and we've been doing a lot of our own sort of talking to founders, talking to people about what do we look like in the industry to people.
And some design focused stuff. I think the unique thing about Sean and I speaking is that obviously I manage lots of the design elements in terms of like branding and advertising agencies and some in-house brands, and then Sean does much more of the digital product side, and there's lots of like great connectivity happening in the industry between those two aspects. So yeah, there's the intro. I think we smashed it. And now the most exciting part of the podcast.
Questions?
Are you ready? 60 seconds of fun.
Okay. I've actually got some written down here. Are you doing... Do you want to do the odds and I'll do the evens?
Lovely.
Oh, God. Okay.
Are we ready? 3, 2, 1. Favourite restaurant?
Oh, my God. Carluccio's came into my head for some reason, but that is not the one. Hawksmoor.
Okay.
Steak restaurant. Most frustrating app?
It's going to be like a hotels.com or a trip, like a, because that, you know, like when the countdown happens, when it's like, you are going to miss out if you don't book it now.
Oh my God.
It's like, I know it's a lie.
Yeah.
So just leave me alone.
That's so true. Yeah. I had that today on Trainline. There are four of these tickets left at this price.
Yeah.
But it made me buy it faster.
Right. Next one.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. You.
Least favorite color?
In the words of Wayne Deacon. Poo brown. I was just quite proud of that one. Sweet or savory?
Savory every day.
Okay.
Favorite brand?
Kif.
Any others that you're not wearing?
No. What brand do I love? Do you know what? I'm clothing wise. I'm seeing that like About Blank popping up a lot.
Mm.
And it's looking very Amy Leon Dore-esque, and I'm liking that.
Yeah.
I'm also a cycling nerd, so I could rattle off some brands there, but I'm going to leave that one.
Mm.
City that everyone should know about that's not London.
Oh, that's hard, actually. I am going to go for... I mean, Barcelona is just great, isn't it?
Oh, it's got everything.
It's got everything you could need for a little getaway.
Yeah. But even to work there... I think.
Oh yeah, we've had great times working there.
Quick one. What about a city that you haven't been to yet?
That I'd like to go to. Great question. LA.
Oh yeah.
I just have never been, and we've got loads of clients out there. So what about you?
I was gonna say Copenhagen.
Mm.
It just sounds like where just cool stuff is. Architecture, people, brands. Is it your go?
Do I look like a rat or a fish?
You're looking quite fishy today.
Fishy?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Fishy. You look full rat boy.
I didn't ask.
Okay. God. Together, our careers in a noise. Three, two, one. Woohoo!
Whoa, that was pretty similar. God. That was more than 60 seconds, so sorry for people putting the content clips together.
It sort of makes sense that our career noises are similar, because we've had quite similar careers.
Very similar. This is why it's so nice to actually record this with you, because Woody and I have known each other for years and years and years.
We have.
We actually went to the same university, but never met there.
We did. Loughborough, shout out.
Yeah, absolutely. But anyway, enough about that boring stuff. I want to get on to... I think it'd be good to start about start on the topic of no one wants to work for you.
Yes.
I think, you know, it to for anyone who doesn't know, and Woody, I know you've been involved in the New York workshop and London as well. But essentially, the reason we set this up is to get lots of creatives in a room who are in the industry every day, have lived and breathed it for either many years or just have got into it, and wanting to maybe redefine what that looks like in 10 years or just the future. And, you know, I think despite the controversial name, it's, for me, sitting in that room in London the other week was, it was so eye-opening into what, just insight into what people are feeling at all levels and all different parts of that agency, you know, whether they're creatives, strategists, designers, client services. It's just, it was kind of mind blowing.
Yeah, it was. It's really unique because I think that for us, we are strict specialists within certain fields. So obviously, as I said before, Sean does product design. I do more of the, I guess, traditional graphic design type roles. And it's really rare that I'll be in a room with a client services person, an MD, a strategist, a creative, and that was there, that existed in that room. So yeah, it was like a really cool thing to be part of. And I think that, as Sean sort of mentioned, the name is purposely controversial. You know, we wanted to grab people's attention and get people talking about the industry. I think it's probably worth saying that we love the creative industry. We love agency space. You know, the majority of people that we work with day in, day out are agency, you know, people who work within an agency landscape. And we don't think the machine is broken. You know, what we're trying to do is help build something for the future and instigate conversations between people who are passionate about the industry as we are. So yeah, that was the idea of the workshop. And I think that, I don't know, what do you think, what are your main takeaways, Sean, from that event?
I think it was kind of what I mentioned earlier is how aligned everyone was in regard to their frustrations, maybe. You know, I think it felt like in that room, people had a bit of a, I guess, I don't know what the right word to use is, but I think it's they're being brought in for a very specific thing and creativity is lacking. I think the quality of the output is a lot lower than what they came into the industry for and were expecting. You know, and that's down to many different variables and different things. But I think ultimately what people want more of is to go into a creative agency that's just creative, and we can come in and work on these exciting projects and just try crazy things and see if it works and see what doesn't. And you know, we got to take a pinch of the reality side as well. Like, agencies are here to make money. It's a business, and sometimes the work isn't always going to be the best work of their lives. But I think getting the balance right is what we need more of. Is kind of a takeaway I got. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that, similar to what you're saying, there was so much connectivity. The conversations were so rich with people sharing frustrations and you know, learns. And one of the big things that I was just thinking about as you were talking was this kind of process of founders starting agencies from scratch, building it up within, you know, 5 to 10 years, and then selling the business to a network. And I think that is fascinating, because I think someone said the only way you can truly be financially free, you know, make lots of money within the creative space, is essentially by building a really strong, you know, successful, groundbreaking agency and then selling it to a network.
Yeah.
And I think that that's kind of, I hadn't really thought of it in that way. And it's probably why there are very few agencies who are, you know, 15 to 20 years old, still owned by the people who make up the agency. You know, so I think that's kind of interesting. You know, there's lots of talk around, you know, network agencies, you know, damaging creativity and putting people into small boxes. But yeah, it opened my eyes to actually a process that I hadn't thought about quite in that way.
Yeah, I agree. I think the network agency acquisition thing is, I think that can go two ways. Like, you know, I've had people come to us and say, creativity is dead here now. You know, we were just a pure craft-led, like putting out the best work ever. And now we're not because we're part of this beast. Mm. You know, corporate processes come into it and bigger structures and bigger budgets, but not necessarily with the places you want to be spending that budget on. But then on the flip side, you know, I know small, tiny agencies who have become a part of this bigger thing, and it meant they could reach a bit further and try a bit, maybe not be a bit crazy with their ideas, but I think the opportunity to work on some different brands is, it just makes it so much more accessible.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, as you say, I do speak to some people who would never work within a network agency because they've potentially been burnt by it or not. But I also speak to people who wouldn't work in a small independent agency.
Mm.
You know, I think what really became clear is, yes, there was lots of connectivity, but everyone is so different in their opinion of what good looks like, you know, which is natural. That's what makes the creative industry so vibrant and so free, you know, that people think in such diverse and different ways, and good and bad is different and unique for different people. And I think that touching on the nobody wants to work for you session that we did, we had some really, really interesting feedback from a client of ours. Sean and I went to a meeting with an agency that we work with, and we had some internal conversations around, you know, we're doing lots of content about nobody wants to work for you. We were sharing sort of sound bites from the New York session, and some of those were quite negative about the industry. And I think that without anticipating it and without kind of realizing it, we had kind of been seen as a kind of industry bashing agency. And I think that that was really hard to kind of hear from us, and it was great feedback from, you know, the client that we went in to see. And I think that it suddenly dawned on us that we actually, by sharing others' views, they became ours, actually.
Yeah.
And I think that it was a strange thing to sort of listen to.
Yeah, I feel like we kind of knew it, though, in the back of our minds. You know, if anyone sort of followed us on different social channels, LinkedIn's obviously a place that we write a lot of our content, and we do sometimes put out quite controversial views, and some are our own. A lot of them are usually from conversations that we've had that we pick up. And I also think we're trying to be a bit too smart with it at times, and trying to be like, have you ever thought this way, or constantly playing the devil's advocate side, when really we should have been putting more of our own authentic views on some of the stuff. Because like Woody said, agencies are the majority, it's sort of our lifeblood, right? We are an agency. We've worked with design and creative agencies for the from day one, really. And we support them, and I think without them, creativity would potentially die. Mm. Like,
yeah, I agree. And I think that it's one of those things that when Unknown started, and in the early days when, you know, the four of us were together, was something that was always really true to us, and something that we always really tried to push, is saying the things that no one else was brave enough to say, you know. And I think that is really, I think people see us as that agency. They see us sharing views that, you know, other recruitment agencies wouldn't do. And I'm proud of that. But also, you're tiptoeing a fine line, you know, of pissing people off, essentially. You know, if we think of the greatest and the best ad agencies, their best campaigns and projects divide opinion. You know, it's like, don't say stuff which everybody agrees with. But, you know, say stuff that's going to divide opinion and get into the weeds of conversations, because that's all we're essentially trying to do. We're trying to open up conversation to talk about stuff which people are passionate about, you know, that's upsetting people or pissing people off.
And look, like, now is a time, you know, that we're all talking about the state of the market and the industry and, you know, the big R word and recession, and it's they're right to feel a bit like that because you're vulnerable right now. There's this level of vulnerability where everyone's like, you know, I only want to hear people saying great stuff about us, which is, you know, most of the time, but now more than ever. And I think, like, that sort of leads on to, I'm sure people probably want to hear this as well from us, Woody, is what is the sort of state of the market? And if you were a designer, product designer, maybe a founder of an agency, how would you sort of navigate through this time?
Yeah, it's a ginormous question, which I'm going to try and answer. But I think that, I don't know, the start of the year, you know, going into the early year through to sort of March period was a particularly strange time, I think, for lots of agencies. You know, some of our best clients calling us and saying, you know, we're just freezing on hiring for now. You know, we just want to ride the storm through all of this stuff and see what happens. And obviously that's a scary time for everyone, including us, because that is our, you know, that is how we operate and survive. But I think we were really fortunate that we had lots of relationships in New York, and, you know, that market was very buoyant. You know, the West Coast was obviously doing really well. We've got, you know, things. So I think that we were really in a really unique standpoint to see where was doing well and where wasn't. I think that, you know, the one difference that I've seen actually is that branding agencies generally did very well through that kind of COVID period.
Yeah.
They had big, long, essentially retained clients that they were doing, you know, meaty projects for, that, you know, they survived through. And, you know, there was that kind of opinion that, you know, brands decided that this was the time they needed to really stand out. So actually coming up with a new proposition, a new look and feel was a really good thing when the world came back to normal. I think actually right now in the current state of play, ad agencies are really winning. I'm not 100% sure why it is. You know, the majority of my clients throughout, you know, the unknown growth of unknown has been very brand agency centric. You know, that was probably because of the time, and, you know, personally I'm very passionate about that kind of the side of the industry. But more consistently we're working much closer with design teams within ad agencies. And I think that, well, I've got a couple of views on this, but I think it's been made very clear that potentially within ad agencies, designers aren't viewed as the heroes.
Okay.
You know, like the creatives set the vision. You know, the creatives, you know, justify the direction that campaign or that brand is going to stand for. And that is then handed over to the design team to execute, which I think, you know, with more knowledge and views of the branding space, designers are frustrated that they're not seen as the heroes in advertising agencies. They are the heroes in branding agencies because design is a branding agency's product. That's what they produce, you know? So I think that's a really... So I think really great ad agencies have really pushed design being, you know, the way that they can stand out. You know, it's a really interesting time now where I think that, you know, you'll have like a creative director of design in an ad agency, which is a newish thing. Yeah. It's not really something that's happened. And I think that's really fascinating, basically. Mm-hmm. What a monologue that was.
Wow.
I really went on there. I'm sorry.
Wow, yeah, I was drifting off.
Falling asleep.
No, it's interesting because I'm getting a lot of, you know, I guess I'm always talking about the agencies still stealing each other's lunch.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you were to ask me this 12 months ago, like, we'd be talking about branding agencies wanting to move into more of a digital offering or bring that in-house rather than outsourcing. And, you know, it feels like ad agencies, like what you were just saying then, are bringing in this, not bolting on, because I think that's probably where the idea of designers not feeling super valued. Maybe that's the change now. Maybe actually it's becoming less of a, oh, we're an ad agency, but we also do design. we're an ad agency that design is at the core.
Yeah.
They're probably the ones who are going to win, right?
I think so. I think definitely, as you say, the bolt-on thing, I think sometimes it can feel a little bit like that. You know, it's like, we now do branding. And it's like, okay, well, do you actually? Yeah. Or is this a way for you to upsell to a client, you know? Yeah. So, because there's some, you know, there's some brilliant ad agencies who have, you know, world-class design teams who aren't saying they do branding, but inherently they do it because brands come to them and have seen the work they've done before.
Yeah.
You know, if you think of Not Wyden and Kennedy, which has just launched, or I say just launched, that makes me sound very not current. you know, that is a function which is being added to the Wyden and Kennedy, you know, portfolio of, you know, things that they do, which essentially is, from what I know, taking on branding projects. I think that's really interesting. We've seen a variety of agencies doing that. Essentially, that's how Mother Design started, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they aren't attached to Mother now. So that's a different kind. So there's lots of ways that they can do it. But I do think it's like, is what's the why around that happening? Is it because there's a business need for them to do more brand-centric projects? Mm-hmm. Or is it to essentially win more, to go out and win bigger business out from bigger clients?
It's going back to the point that you said, what does design mean in an ad agency to that place? And I have the same conversation with branding agencies and wanting to move into digital. It's like, digital is this big word, this broad word that everyone's throwing around and saying, oh, we do that.
Yeah,
but like, do you really? And what does that entail? You know, does a branding agency want to go deep into product design? Do they want to invest in a whole development team?
Yeah.
Are they just going to get one leader to go and shout about the agency doing this offering right now?
Yeah.
And
I've got a question actually, because we've obviously worked with similar clients,
yeah.
Because branding agencies are doing more digital stuff. Does what is the like? Theoretical situation here. Branding agency decides they want to do more experience design work. They come to you and say, hey, we want to do this. What would you advise them to do
in terms of growth and hiring?
Yeah,
I'd really nail down maybe how you want to be perceived in the next 12 to 18 months in digital. So do you want to have won a certain type of client, a certain stage of business? Like, let's say in 12 months, we want to have secured this number of Series A funded businesses, or we're going for the big tech scale ups or whatever. Try and nail that down. And then I think you need a leader. You need someone who is going to rally up a team, experience in nurturing a team and growing and knowing where to grow in what areas. Because I think a lot of people historically have just brought someone in who is kind of digital, but a lot like the rest of the agency.
Mm.
I think you need to be brave enough to hire someone quite different, who probably understands that world or has been amongst it. And once that's done, that person will then, depending on how deep you want to go into digital and product, hire from, you know, from a UX and a UI background, and sort of grow it from there. I'd always have to start with a leader and bringing in a team from the ground up. I'd love the idea of nurturing younger, not necessarily younger, less experienced talent, who want to just, because they're the ones with the crazy ideas, and that's potentially what you need when launching a new offering. I think, you know, going back to the original question of what's the market looking like, and if you were a founder of an agency or a managing director or whatever, how would you navigate through it? I think this doesn't feel like the year of change like last year was.
Mm.
I feel like this is where you don't over diversify. You continue doing what you're known for and really good at, or have launched last year or the year before and trying to get better in. I think that's key. I also think shouting about your work more. Like, we know agencies who we perceive as some of the best in the industry, but no one really hears much about them. Mm. And I truly believe that the best places aren't always shouting the loudest.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. I think there's a crossover here between product and branding, because, you know, we're really fortunate that we can really get behind the scenes with some agencies and they're sharing work with us that, you know, is in process or, you know, hasn't been released yet. So we can see the kind of newest and the best stuff from places. And yeah, like some of the best agencies aren't brilliant at showcasing their work.
Mm.
And I think that they have a reputation for doing good work, so brands and clients will come to them. It makes it very difficult for us to inspire a new creative person to want to go there if they can't see work that they've done.
Yeah, and vice versa, right? This is why I feel for the designers whose work is covered in NDAs, you know? Mm. And that might be the same with the agency, but it's like you get into this industry to shout up, like show what you can do and show your skills. And if you can't do that, then like all you can show is from 5 years ago.
Yeah.
That's just, that feels like you can't get in your foot into anywhere.
Yeah.
I was going to say as well, like, I think embracing new technology is just key. I think it sounds so obvious, but a lot of people are scared of change, and I understand that. And I think technology specifically is something that if you're not an expert in that, you shit yourself. You're like, oh my God, this new thing is gonna take my job. It's gonna it's gonna beat me to our competitors, and I don't know how to use it or whatever. And I think like being able to take time to embrace it and try and understand it, or hire someone who does, talk to someone who does, I think you're going to be in a much better position of sticking with the times.
Yeah, I think that I've kind of got a bit of a theory around kind of the evolution of, and I think this will definitely lean more into your world, but I do think we're going to see new types of roles popping up in the industry, you know, whether it be like an AI kind of innovator, someone who essentially is part of an agency that allows them to flex into new technologies and products that allow them to do just crazy work.
Absolutely.
Because I think that, I don't know if it will exist so much in the branding space. I think there's lots of room for people who are using technology in a different way, but 100%. How do you feel about that?
Well, I was just about to say, like, let's take ChatGPT for an example. Everyone knows about it now, but fewer people know how to get the best out of it.
Mm.
And I'm going to shout out our very own Jake Rudman here.
Good old Jake boy.
That boy, he's like a magician with ChatGPT, and no one else is. So that's a role in itself, and that's a responsibility to be able to, I know how to work with this tool. It's like anyone who can come in and product manager, for example, a skill that person has is be able to talk all languages of a developer, a designer, a tester, a writer, a stakeholder. That's what someone who can work with AI could do. That could be their superpower, you know?
Yeah.
So I totally agree. That could be a specific need or a role. We're all thinking that AI is going to take jobs, but it might create jobs.
Well, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly my point. I think that there's a lot of excitement, you know, like we're constantly talking about and testing things. And as you say, Jake is really leading the charge. We've essentially got our own AI innovator called Jake.
The AI bot.
The AI I want to call him. call him that. Sweet.
Yeah. Sorry, I knew you kind of asked me about AI in product and I didn't answer. I went on to a whole new tangent.
It's fine. It's fine.
I do want to mention this Framer AI thing, though.
Oh, yeah, you did, yeah.
Because, you know, we're all seeing it, and it's all like, holy shit, you can build a website in 1 minute. And you literally can, by the way. Like, a fully responsive website in 1 minute. And you describe it in, you can use 5 words, you can use 100 words, I think. And it generates a base template of a website. But it's a template in my head. Mm. Like, all that does is help you brainstorm and conceptualize what this thing could look like. It still takes a very skillful, very talented designer or person to try, like, use that concept and make it even better. Mm. We've obviously just launched our new website, which is super exciting. We might get onto that more.
We definitely will get onto that.
I saw Framer AI came out and I just after we launched, or basically, and I was like, okay, this could have taken a minute, but you know, we wouldn't have had one of the most talented prospects in the industry, like helping us out on that.
Yeah, and I think it's also worth saying, it's like, you know, the templated stuff, you can only go so far with it. Mm. You know, like, if we look at some of the most talented developers, you know, creative developers that we know in the industry, some of the stuff they can create is so bespoke and so specialist and so beautifully designed. There's not a chance that Framer could do that. Like,
yet. But yeah, I completely agree. But it is kind of mind blowing how much AI technology is evolving. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it really does seem like it's going at 100 miles an hour, every day there's something new.
But I do think you're right. I think, like, you know, like any designer who shows me, look at this new piece of work I've created, some of the talent that we see is like, you wouldn't have thought of that. I can't imagine anyone being able to think of what you've just thought of. Mm. You know, so yeah.
Yeah, I think it is a interesting kind of, and I think it is fun to play around with it, but it does still feel like a bit of a toy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It feels like I wouldn't trust it with something really serious.
Yeah, I know. I know what you mean.
Like, I don't know if this is just because we're asking it not to do, you know, but I think that, you know, it's a way to explore and experiment and kind of push ideas, and you know, and like, you know, we were all sat around the desk whilst you were sort of playing with Framer. Like, yes, one of the websites looked great and the other one looked absolutely dog shit.
It's true, that's the one we didn't use.
It looked absolutely like horrendous.
Yeah, it still feels a bit clunky, a bit broken. And it definitely, it's crazy how much it feels like it's lacking that human element.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I know it's obvious that that's a robot and we're humans, but maybe because we've grown up in a society of talking to other humans and we're so used to the nuances of, and look, like, nuances are specific to different cultures as well. Like, is this AI tool going to be able to pick all of that stuff up? Yeah, it's, I mean, we could talk about this for ages, I'm sure. But look, we're not experts in it. There are brands or products and services who have been using AI and machine learning and personalization for so many years. And the ones that it's so seamless in our day-to-day life are the ones that are absolutely smashing it. You know, the ones that you don't notice, but you're like, holy shit, that app knows exactly what I'm thinking.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like, everyone's like, going crazy about ChatGPT. GPT?
Interesting. The knockoff version.
Everyone's going crazy about it and being like, oh my God, this is like brand new things, da 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 da. Like, we've been using AI for years. Yeah. You know, what? How does Netflix know what you want to watch next?
Yeah.
You know? How does Spotify suggest you new music that you're like, wow, this is amazing, I love this.
How is it when you talk about a lawnmower, it's all over your Instagram?
To be fair, we do talk about lawnmowers.
We do. We do love a good lawnmower.
Don't have a garden, but lawnmower's great.
Yeah.
I want to just take a moment to celebrate Sean Williams.
Oh.
Joe from Unknown.
Yeah. That's his surname.
Joe.
From Unknown.
From Unknown. And Gabriel.
Yeah.
There we go. So I listed off the names. However, I fluffed the introduction of that. But we've got a new website.
Woo!
And it is beautiful. It really is beautiful. And I think that there were many months of toil and frustration and joy and sadness. And I think that, you know, Sean was definitely running the show and kind of managing the project, and people, you know, different people dripped in and saw kind of new iterations of the website and da da da. And I think that it really is a massive achievement. And I think that, yeah, you should be really, really proud of what you've achieved. However, let's get into the weeds.
Yeah.
How did you find it?
It was such an amazing experience, like being the client, you know, and working with essentially an agency.
Yeah.
It was just like, because I was realizing when I was being difficult as the client, but, you know, it was some of the obvious things like, can we make that logo bigger? Can we make that font smaller, bigger, different color? All the memes that you see all over Instagram of like designers getting pissed off at clients because of the stuff that they don't know about.
Mm.
And I wanted to accept that, look, I'm not an expert in this. You are. So I'm going to let, I just wanted to give Gabs as much freedom as he could whilst doing a few quite simple things, you know, ensuring people know what it is that we do, you know, what are we really, really good at in creative recruitment? Mm. A lot of people, you know, have mistaken us for a design agency, for example, or a creative agency. And that's as flattering as that is. It's not what we do, you know, so that's down to us to shout about this is our expertise and this is why you come to us. But it also just so happens that we can make something look shit hot as well.
Yeah.
So that was really key. Second thing is obviously to make the thing look beautiful. Like I want people to land on it and be like, wait, what? Like this is unknown. This is a creative recruitment agency and they look like a award-winning design studio, you know. So that was that. And I think the final thing is just being able, the mission statement, this is a bit more difficult to quantify, but just getting us in the room with more of these businesses, the ones who are popping up who we don't know about, the ones who are super established who we know about who have never worked with. And yeah, I think Gavs did such an amazing job, like, you know, I'll forever sing his praises because he put up with us and our feedback. He iterated and iterated, even let me dive into the web flow, completely ruin it all, and he fixed it, which is great. But yeah, such an amazing experience. And one that, who knows, we might win an award, an FWA maybe, a Webby.
That would be great. Well, that was the goal, you know, like the site was a kind of labor of love for a long time, the old site. You know, it got to a point where actually there was nothing more that could be done with it.
It was a bodge by the end.
And it was getting really clunky, you know, certain, and I think, as you say, people were quite confused about what we did. You know, the wonderful Ollie Scott is a brilliant writer, but there was a lot of fucking words on that website.
So many. That boy wants words everywhere. And as much, because the stuff he writes is impeccable. Like, some of the stuff I've seen him write is amazing. But the problem by having too much content and too much text, that user is like, doesn't look at anything, doesn't take any
information.
Can't
be bothered to read
for exactly.
It.
Yeah. So, you know, you need to try and get the magical nuggets of information in there where you can. And that's what Gabs was so good for, is saying, like, dissecting what we think is great words and we want on the site and saying, okay, this is where you'd put this, and the using font hierarchy to bring, when users land, they're looking at this and that's the thing we want them to focus on. And then, you know, the website is at a point where we're super happy with it and like over the moon to have it out there, but it's also, we're already thinking about what can we do more of or differently, or see how people react to it.
Yeah, and it's specifically been designed to be able to grow and iterate now. You know, there's essentially a working product that we can add and evolve, and, you know, I think that's really cool. And also, we've had a lot of love. I say we. You've had a lot of love from the industry about it. Like, I've had messages, lots of people contacting me, lots of people contacting me about a little bit that might be a bit wrong.
I'll tell you what, it's so funny, I literally, the day it launched, I was going out for some beers with the head of design. What a legend. What a legend, by the way. Had one beer, so I felt pretty good. But what a mistake that was. The thing goes live and I'm like, oh, perfect. Done and dusted, handed off. That is a job done. That is when your job starts, because problems come in, little bugs, little things that need fixing quick. Mm. And, you know, again, I take my hat off to Gabs, who is based in Argentina 1 week, Amsterdam another, New York another. So time zone wise, it's probably the middle of the night for him, and he's getting texts from me saying, Gabs, we need to change this. This is crazy. But yeah, so that was pretty overwhelming. Mm. You know, people, and look, I really appreciate some of the messages we got saying, love the site, so amazing, just noticed this little problem.
Yeah,
you know, maybe I'm nitpicking. That stuff is like, I think just as a whole tells us about how great this industry is.
Yeah,
everyone's here to help each other. No, look, we compete, agencies compete, we're all competing with each other, but at the same time, like, everyone's appreciating great work. Mm. And that's what it felt like, we were part of that for a bit. And you know, and still are. So
yeah, and yeah. I think that is the thing. Like, I've had a lot of messages from people also being like, hey, this, you know, look at this, this, I just want to, is this right, or da, da, da. And I think that that's coming from a place of like wanting to help.
Mm.
Or wanting to be like, have you noticed this, or you know. So I think that's really cool, and it, you know, brings us back around to how great this fucking industry is. You know, people. 100%. So yeah, really, really, really cool. Do you have sympathy now for our clients?
For our clients?
Because of...
Oh, do you mean agency?
Yeah, agencies. Yeah. Because of how stressful that process was to do the site.
Yeah, I do. I feel for the designers and the ones having the conversation, whoever is having the conversation with the brand or the client.
Yeah.
Because the problem is, if you're speaking especially with, you know, a founder or a managing partner or someone who's helped set up that brand, they're so emotionally invested in the brand and getting that tone of voice right, and the design should really match what we set out to do. And that's totally right. And it takes a real skillful designer to be able to do that.
Mm.
But it's also welcoming change. That's something that I've learned a lot of, and we talk about it a lot. What? welcoming change is only a good thing. Like, being able to see, oh, I didn't think of it that way. And
yeah,
when I first look at it, it made me shit myself, because I'm like, that is so far from what we had done before.
Mm.
You do the sleep test, you wake up and go, actually, I'm starting to like that more and more and more.
Yeah.
But
do you know what? Sorry to interrupt you, but what it really gave me an appreciation for, and it made me had to make me kind of eat my words a little bit, because the design can only actually get you so far. You know, what the special sauce is someone who can bring a client on board to their way of thinking.
Yeah.
You know, someone who can actually say, I know this has just made you shit yourself.
Yeah.
But I'm going to explain the reasons why that's good. And, you know, like, the justification of just decisions and choices. And like, I'll get feedback as saying, like, this person's great, they're a world-class designer, but they can't explain to me their decision-making process.
100%.
Like, you know, they're not enough of a presenter. And that always used to really piss me off, because I'd be like, but look at their work.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, look at that work and tell me that's not the best thing you've ever seen. You know, a lot of people be like, yeah, it's great, but this person isn't going to allow me to sell the ideas into a client.
Yeah, and, you know, we're all salespeople at the end of the day. You know, like, people need to be able to back their work up with words and talk and tell them why this is gonna get to that goal that you want, or change that thing that you thought. I appreciate people who aren't yes men either.
Mm.
You know, I'm so happy that Gabs pushed back when he did. And when I said, can we do this, he'll say, we can try that, but I have a feeling it's going to do this. So let's do it. Let's see what happens. And I'm going to give you an alternative as well.
Yeah.
That's like amazing. So no, very, very happy about it. It's exciting times ahead for sure.
Very exciting. One thing it definitely has done for us is Holy moly, our inbox has gone absolutely insane.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that to the unknown team. I think everyone was extremely overwhelmed, weren't they?
It is a real influx of people, which obviously that this is not a complaint. This is absolutely not a complaint. We're thankful that, you know, but like our inbox is hot right now, and it's a real, we've really got to manage our time carefully in order to be able to go back to everyone, because it is insane. And I think that, you know, we're always forever thankful for people reaching out to us and wanting to work with us. And honestly, if we could work with everyone who comes in our inbox, we'd love to. But yeah, I think that speaks, you know, volumes to what you guys have done with the site and how that's kind of gone, because, you know, people want to get in touch with us. People want to learn more and understand more. And, you know, we're even experienced like a massive influx of new clients as well, which is brilliant and such a great thing for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Nothing to add to that point, because it's great. It's a great thing, but also caveat that with we're getting back to everyone.
we're trying our best, we promise. We really are.
Yeah. Woody, I wanted to ask you, it's a bit of a...
I will go for a date with you.
Oh, fine. Okay. Can we stop recording?
So cut it right now.
Oh. Wait, is...
Sorry. No. Okay. It's going.
Okay, cool. Sorry, I had a little scare of the time there. No, it actually came from Jake Rudman again. He wanted to ask. I asked him, you know, what do you want to be talked about on the pod? He said, it might sound obvious, but I want to know what both of you think you look for in a good portfolio, how you review a portfolio, and how you know if that's good for... if it's good for different types of agencies. I murdered that question.
Give me the first part. What I would look for in a good portfolio. Yeah. There's probably three things that I'll always look for. And obviously it's specific to an individual brief. But if I'm just looking generally for like new good people, I think variety of work is a massive thing, and not like a house style. So if no one knows what a house style means, essentially like the project shouldn't look like they've come, like they're part of the same piece of work. You know, I think that it's great to have like a big large scale, and I'm talking very brand and design centric here, but like shouldn't all be like big, you know, big global global corporate rebrands. You know, there should be like a nice variety of small, you know, individual, like personal projects, really cool brand design stuff that has potentially more digital avenues, a little bit of kind of motion aspects. I know that like it sounds like I'm asking for loads of different stuff from one person, you know, but I think it's just owning your craft and making things feel and look different.
Yeah.
I think the second part is like, I guess just easy to navigate, you know, clear, concise explanations of work. And I'll kind of move on to that a bit more. But the things that set good designers apart from great designers is their way to articulate their thinking. You know, it's not good enough anymore to just showcase the work, you know.
The big hero image.
Exactly. What you need to be doing is taking people on a journey through that project, and it's really hard to do that. You know, it's really that's where the real excellence comes from. It's because it allows whoever's reading it to go through that journey of that project. You know, I think another great thing to add into portfolios to sort of help that is potentially different routes that you've gone on. You know, one that didn't work. I love those when someone shows a, like, you know, like the chip shop awards, you know, an idea that they came up with that the client didn't go for. I love that shit because it shows that you're able to justify maybe why something didn't work and actually the route that the client did go down. I love that stuff.
I also, to relating to that point, like playground sections in people's portfolios or just pieces of work is just so, I'm like, because that's your thinking, that's your style, and that's, you've gone out to do that because you enjoy doing that.
Yeah.
You know, the conceptual project thing is so key for me anyway, because everyone has an idea of who they want to work with. Everyone's got these big brands or agencies in their head of like, holy shit, I'd love to work with them one day. But you're currently at this very corporate run. Let's say you want to work at very innovative, forward-thinking, culture heavy, wrong word, agency or brand, blah. But you're stuck in this corporate thing, only working on banks or only working on life insurance. Mm. That can be very difficult to get your foot into this really nice place and really fun place, because all you're doing every day is working on the same kind of boring shit, in your opinion. So that's where conceptual projects is such a good way of showcasing the style you want to be a part of, and the business you want to be a part of, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that the one piece of advice that I would give to any designer really trying to navigate their way into a different space is do the work that you want to create. Pretend, you know, set yourself, you know, an evening a week, or, you know, have a weekend working on something where you essentially pretend that there's a client that you're working with. You know, you run it like a normal project. You do work that you create, the work that you want to be doing in the industry that you want to move into. And like, there's some amazing examples of portfolios that I've seen where they've essentially just built a brand that doesn't exist, and they've made it look like it exists. That, you know, they've made like a Shopify site for it, or they've made like, you know, they've made the packaging, they've actually designed the packaging, got it made. Like, that stuff is fucking cool. Like, I love that.
It's so cool. I agree. And it's also, I think, God, what was I going to say on that? I was going to talk about, because my girlfriend's going through this right now, and she's, you know, putting together some conceptual projects and setting yourself deadlines and tasks, like you said, of like, I need to get this done by X and Y to make this happen. That for me, if I was a designer, would be some of the most fun stuff I've worked on before. Bringing two brands together that you wouldn't have seen, you know, collaborating at all, and you make something pretty exciting. And I think also that's a really good opportunity to bring AI into it. You know, what we talked about earlier is not only because it can be really quick, but it's also adding that skill set to your bow and that string to your bow to be like, oh yeah, I used voice AI to help make this feature happen or become a reality. I used ChatGPT for some of the UX writing. I've used Midjourney to build some images and edit them, or Photoshop's crazy fill AI thing.
Tool,
That is mental,
that
by the way.
That is mental. That is mental. That's one of those ones that actually blew my brain slightly.
Yeah.
I saw, like, you know, someone walking through it and I was like, holy shit, that is amazing.
There was this picture that someone used from like the 50s of this old guy standing in front of a cathedral in Italy. Had low crowds of people around, and obviously it was in black and white, and all, and using Photoshop AI made it look like modern day, got rid of the crowds, crisp ultra HD 4K photo. It's like, how has it done that? So no, that shout out to that, to be fair.
Yeah, that is one that really did blow my mind a bit, you know. Yeah, and then I think that, sort of coming back onto like portfolio advice and bits and bobs like that, I guess like the advice that kind of seems to resonate with people is just get out there and talk to people about your work. You know, there's nothing more daunting if you've been in the role 5 years, you've been at the same agency or brand or organization, and your first interview. You know, you've not presented your work to anyone. You've not talked about the work to anyone. You've hardly even finished putting your portfolio together the day before the interview. The likelihood that you're actually going to succeed in that environment is very slim.
Yeah.
You know, yes, day in, day out, you're probably selling your work into someone, but that's very different than selling it into a potential employer. So I would just, you know, talk to your friends about it. Present it to your parents, your aunties, your uncles, your friends down the pub, whatever. And also, get out there and meet people in the industry.
Yeah.
You know, like, that this is such a welcoming, open, giving space, you know, that is, you know, brilliant. Like, just message, reach out to people, use Instagram, like email people. Lots of people have, like, people are very open to talking to you if you want to.
And people wouldn't know that if they haven't done it before, right? I think it can seem quite, it can seem quite tough to get into some of these, in front of some of these people, you know? They just assume that because I can't get a interview at AKQA, that I can't message a creative director or an ECD from there to be like, can you just look at my work? I'm not asking for anything more. I just love your eyes on it for 2 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
And you'd be surprised at how successful that is and how many people want to help and give you advice. And, you know, it's because they're the ones who remember being in that position before and being sort of like, That situation where, like, what do? I've got this work and I've put my portfolio out. No one's looking at it. You've got to go and social proof yourself. You've got to go and just talk to people, get mentors, and that'll help you get in front of the right places.
Yeah, definitely. And I think also we're not just talking to junior people here either.
No, not
you know,
at all.
I think we're the more senior you get, the less likely people are to reach out to ask for advice because they feel that they shouldn't or that they should know already. No one knows what they're doing, really. You know, like, we're all making it up.
Yeah.
Everyone's learning things every day. You know, some of these juniors coming out of university have blown me away with the amount of stuff that the knowledge they have around different aspects of the industry. You know, people should be collaborating. Actually, if any really senior people are listening to this or people further on in their career, you should be reaching out to really junior people as well, because you could learn so much from those these kind of newer, you know, less established creatives who are entering the industry. Like, they are a fountain of knowledge about what's to come, you know? And I think that everyone always thinks, oh, well, it's the senior person giving that junior person their time. I think actually the seesaw is kind of switching the other way.
Yeah, well, do you remember that thing that we were going to set up?
I do remember it.
Old Tricks, New Dogs, I think was the name that we came up with. Amazing idea, you know? I loved it. Putting a really junior person in a room and working on a sprint with a really senior person in the industry, setting them a brief and going and getting it done in a week, 3 days, whatever it would be. Unfortunately, we didn't have time to really orchestrate that in the end, but... Yeah, to Woody's point, it's just the amount you can learn from that junior person who is in and around the new tech and the new tools is crazy. It's valuable for both sides. So yeah.
I think so. Yeah. I'm gonna ask you this question because because I'm scared of you asking me it first, because I know it's on the agenda.
Is it?
Yeah.
I feel like we've run out of questions on the agenda.
No, we haven't.
Okay.
If you were to start your own agency, what would you call it and what would it do?
That is like, that's a tough question.
I know, because it's right on the agenda and you were going to ask me, so.
I'm also trying to buy some time here and think about both of those things. What would I call it? I like the idea of something and something, like with the ampersand.
Like Woody and Sean.
Done. Yeah. Done. Yeah, what would we do?
This, what, maybe?
What makes us different? Maybe something called something and nothing. Is that? That's not an agency already, I don't think.
No, I don't think so.
Something and nothing, or I saw your brain working then. You were like, because I said it, and you're like, oh, think of, you were thinking.
Yeah, I'm thinking about mine.
Something and nothing, or someone and others, or yeah, because then it would be like S&, and you could do something quite cool. What it definitely wouldn't be called is one of those like under 16s nightclubs, you know, like Pulse or Liquid or a Pump.
Pump. That's a gym.
Is it?
That's gotta be a gym called Pump. I've just remembered mine. It is Probably Yeah.
Oh, you've talked about this for a while.
Probably
I
Yeah.
I feel like you're stealing that from Sam. Or is that you?
That was definitely me.
Co-founders.
Yeah, Probably Yeah. I think that it kind of makes us sound like we're a bit like we'll do anything. But I just love the idea of being like being in a room with creative people and someone saying, can you do this? And you're always like, probably, yeah.
And then everyone has that little laugh.
Everyone's like, ha ha, that's us. We do everything. We are fucking yes men.
Probably, yeah. I do like that. What is that? What makes you different? Just probably yeah. Rather than...
Well, no, I think that if I'm looking, like, if we get more serious now, okay. Sean, because okay. We should have got Sam on this podcast because he's got about 55 names for agencies that he wants to start.
I think he's literally got a section in his notes for
that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But if we're thinking about, like, the future of the industry, you know, and from our opinion of conversations, you know, whether it's valuable or not, I'm going to say it. But I think that... It's going to go one of two ways. We're going to have this sea of agencies trying to do everything and trying to do more stuff and take up more business, whether that comes from the networks or whatever. But I think we're seeing lots of small collectives doing stuff really, really well for much cheaper than the big agencies. They're essentially stealing these big, ginormous beasts lunch, you know, breakfast, lunches and dinners, you know, and the cultural insights they can bring, the way that they can use technology, you know, like you'll have like a junior creative who can shoot, direct, design and build something. Yeah. And it's like this, you know, these new agencies aren't thinking in small boxes anymore. You know, it's like we... approaching brands and being like, we want to do this with you. I think we're also seeing a lot of that sort of you know, definitely in the fashion and kind of lifestyle space is small collectives approaching brands and being like, we have this idea that we want to do with you, what do you think? And I think that's a really unique way of like moving forward.
Yeah, you're seeing it loads, like things that start as communities and turn into products or services.
Yeah,
I think it's like great, and we're able to do that now with the likes of social media and different channels. To everything's so accessible to shout about and free. You know, I was literally walking, I think it was in Oxford Circus Station, and the whole, you know, you're seeing all these digital ad boards and stuff. And this is not bashing the advertising industry right now, but I don't really spend a lot of time looking at that stuff or, you know, taking enough time to think, oh, they do that, and then the next screen comes up and I look at that. Whereas Beavertown neck oil,
you've seen that, isn't it?
They've
so
covered
great.
The whole that. If I was to do a activation campaign, or I'd have to do a takeover, like,
yeah,
I'd have to scream it in people's face of like, you're walking through what feels like the neck oil,
it's like
a
Willy
pint.
Wonka or something, isn't it? It really feels
amazing. But back to the point is that costs I don't know how much, but a ridiculous amount. But there's so much stuff you can do for free.
Yeah,
you know, like I remember working in when I was back in as a product designer in a past life, as well as a marketing designer. It felt like, because we were putting together all this little flyer marketing collateral stuff, and I used to get on the tube at 5 a.m. and put all of the seats this really, like, it was like a bright yellow thing with the brand on, and I just used to sit and watch people pick it up and reading it. And
really,
yeah I haven't told you this. No. We I used to do some ridiculous stuff with that, but the whole reason being that cost what, £50 to get all of those flyers and do the design and stuff, and obviously paying for me. But it's just like people aren't expecting it, and that was just a way of doing it. And I think, you know, going back to the creating our own agency thing and what would make us different, I'd love to bring in some of those elements I'd really want to focus on building the brand as well.
Yeah,
like building the brand of the agency, so that, and that's what we're trying to do with Unknown. People follow the brand, people love the brand, and then find out that we do our job really well.
Yeah, well, that's a really interesting point, and that's something that came out of the New York Nobody Wants to Work for You workshop, mouthful. is like agencies like seem to, you know, lose their kind of, they get to a certain point where like them branding themselves has been forgotten. You know, like they don't respect their own brand to be, you know, to be viewed as this, you know, thing that everyone wants a piece of. You know, Uncommon are brilliant at doing it. You know, they, but again, like, is the noise so strong about them right now? Yes, I'd say, you know, but it's like some agencies are really, really excellent at branding themselves. And I think actually is that important for them to win more clients? Yes. It's probably more important for them to win great talent.
Yeah.
Like, I just think it's really interesting.
Yeah. I think a good example of this is like the Wise Ragged Edge rebrand. I think I'd love to, you see a piece of work go out, whether it's a Nike campaign, a Wise rebrand, whoever it is, and you know who's done it. Not enough agencies are saying we've done this and we want people to know we've done this.
Yeah.
Whereas the Wise and Ragged Edge rebrand, it really felt like a collaboration.
Yeah.
It felt like we were getting it from all angles, you know. These guys were just as the Ragged Edge team was so influential on the Wise team, but also that wouldn't be possible if it wasn't for the talent in the Wise team. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Sounds like an interesting podcast to me.
It does. Let's see if we can make that happen.
Let's see what the future holds. let's do some funny shit for the last 10 minutes, shall we?
Okay.
What's your best joke?
I have a business.
What's your business, Sean?
I'm a baker. Yeah, I sell bread. I'm a, you know, baker in central London. Ask me how it is.
How is your business, Sean?
It's all right. Need more dough.
Whoa. Do you know what I thought you were going to say?
What?
I thought you were going to go, we'll do it again. How, I have a business.
What's your business?
None of your business. Oi, that's what I thought.
That is really, really good.
That's what I thought you were going to do.
No, that's good.
I was
good.
Waiting for it.
That's good. No, that's not a joke, but, you know, that's what you get.
I think that potentially we could spend some time, I don't know, updating things on our side. Is that like a good thing to do? I know we've done the website. You know, we're at like a really good point. Like, we're at 4 years old nearly now.
Yeah.
4 years, I think.
Crazy.
I'm pretty sure it is. And I think that we have the strongest team that we've ever had. I think that, you know, we, obviously, startup landscape is kind of scary. You're learning new things every day. You're doing stuff outside of your job description. And, you know, I think that especially the, you know, Sean, Sam, you know, Ollie, Molly, like the members of the team who've been here for the longest time have seen so much change and so much evolution and so much growth. But like, and then you bring new people in, you know, new faces, new views, new opinions. And I think that, like, that's a scary time for anyone who's been at within a business. But like, I definitely want to give a shout out to all of the Unknown team, because everyone works so hard. You know, there's been some highly pressured moments going through, you know, the first part of the year. And I think that, like, everyone is showing up and being their true self. They're like bringing themselves every day. And like, I feel so lucky to be able to work with the team that we have.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think when we were hiring new people and bringing people into the business, I kind of thought they probably won't be as emotionally invested as us, the ones who sort of helped start this thing. You know, you can't imagine, you cut them open and they bleed Unknown, but that absolutely is what they all are.
Yeah.
Like, everyone is a lover of the brand. They believe in the business and want to be around each other, is how it feels to me. And for me personally, the gang we have around us is just like, everyone just, it feels so intelligent. I feel like the dumbest person in the room.
Yeah, absolutely.
Probably because I am, but yeah, that is
definitely
fine.
You definitely are. And I think
Woody.
Another really unique thing and an evolution of kind of the business is, like, we have a head of people.
Yeah, head
of people and operations partner. What a mouthful. Good luck, Hannah. Called Hannah.
Sorry, Hannah.
Hannah definitely needs a shout out, because Hannah has not come from a recruitment background. Like, on her first day, I'm sure we were speaking like Swahili to her because like, and I think that not only is that like a massive sign of her ability to view an opportunity, but also to plunge into the unknown, literally, like to just dive in, bring a completely new mindset,
yeah,
a way of approaching problems that has allowed us to think far more broadly about our growth,
yeah,
and like how we hire people. Like Hannah has like had such a massive impact on literally every single part of the business. And it, like, we couldn't have dreamt of a better human being to do that role for us.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't imagine. I wouldn't have survived without Hannah, I think. How she can make my brain dumps and word vomits make sense of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And making the complex simple and so on. So, no, we love you, Hannah. I think it might just be worth finishing because we haven't got long left. I've really enjoyed this.
Obviously. It's gone so fast.
It has
it?
Gone fast. It has I've gone really fast. Enjoyed it. I think maybe we just talk a little bit about New York for a second because I feel like this has been very London focused and obviously, I guess, unknown. But it might be good to talk about what's happening over in New York.
Yeah.
And obviously we had the No One Wants to Work For You workshop mouthful. Mid last year,
it actually snowed on that day. How mental is that?
That is crazy.
It genuinely snowed. Like a snowstorm.
August or something, maybe September, doesn't matter, irrelevant. But yeah, New York is a place that we're going out there regularly now and seeing a lot of our kind of existing clients and new clients, candidates and so on, and it feels that I see New York as like bubbling. It's always sort of there and vibrant.
Yeah.
You know, and something I learn about, especially in agency world, is something that a lot of places struggle with, and we were talking about it before, is doing what you're really good at better. I think the guys in New York and the agencies in New York are struggling with being able to show these are the variety of offerings we have. I was talking to a bunch of places and they were like, we're only known for one thing, you know, and it's kind of what we set up as, but things have evolved and things have changed since then. What advice would you give? Yeah, that's a question. What advice would you give to those agencies to become more known in other areas of their offerings in New York?
That's hard because the New York market is huge.
Yeah.
Like it is a absolutely massive, you know, ginormous pot of creative work, and I think that it is probably easy to get lost in that. You know, I think it comes back around to what we were saying. It's actually branding yourself as what you want to be, you know, and getting and showcasing stuff that you've done which is closer to the work you want to do. It's the same as being a creative or designer or, you know, copywriter or whatever you are. I think actually like showing the industry or showing your clients the potential of what they could do if they trust you to do that thing, I think would be where I would go. I think, you know, I don't have so much knowledge of the product space in New York. Like the majority of clients that I work with are all branding agencies. And you know, if we think of Koto, for example, they're new on the scene in New York, you know, one of the newer agencies popping up, and they've had loads of success. But I don't think it was an easy road into that market. It's a very, very hard market to crack. You know, you've obviously got Collins kind of in public opinion leading the kind of way out there. And how do you go up against it? I actually don't think you do. I think you show your unique offering that's different to what they do. You know, that's, you know, if you're trying to go against up against another agency, I think that you're doing it wrong. I think you need to look at the future of work and beat your competitors to doing that. You know, being brave about your hiring choices, what is actually going to set you apart from the industry. You know, you need to be looking further than next year. You need to be looking in the next 5 years, what is the industry going to look like? And it takes a really brave agency founder or creative director or you know, design lead to actually think like that, because the day-to-day is different.
Yeah, and it's investing in the right people, you know? That's such a massive thing. And like Woody said, if you've got foresight over the next 3 to 5 years, what are the teams you're going to need to bring in and hire to make that stuff happen? Because if you're looking to do something a bit different in terms of your offering, then your current team might not be able to fulfill that.
Yeah.
So they keep doing what they're really good at and look to think, okay, it's bringing in a specialist from somewhere else who, like, that opportunity for so many people is so exciting to come in somewhere and think, we're looking to do more of this that we're not so known in, but we've got the appetite to go for it and smash it.
Yeah, and I think another thing about New York is, you know, I obviously said it's a big beast, there's lots of things. There is also a small collective of brilliant places. You know, is I think someone described as there's lots of people in New York and there's lots of average people in New York. There's also a really small, like, pot of some of the world's greatest designers, creators, product designers. And like, I think that can feel quite scary. You know, like, I remember when I was first having conversations in New York, I was like, I actually don't know how I'm going to infiltrate this group of like shit hot people. You know, it's like almost like they're like on a pedestal trying to get in there. So I think that could probably be quite overwhelming for some people.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd agree. Woody?
What do you want to do? Do you want to wrap up? Sean, basically, I'm just announcing to Evan, Sean is going to wrap us up with a song.
Kumbaya.
Oh, you actually went for it. Kumbaya. I thought you weren't.
You've got to.
This, if anyone's listening to this to go off to sleep, just fast forward it to this point.
How are they going to know that? Oh, because they're going to get to the end. Would
right.
You? Otter clap on three. One, two, three. Goodbye. Sweet.